Have you noticed that you can smell a salesperson a mile away? It's the smell of neediness and desperation. This is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. Listen to my client, Bethany Brediger, with Sonatrol Pacific, share her experience learning how to stop selling and become a trusted advisor.
Everything you teach is centered around not doing what the customer expects, that dance that you do back and forth that I was stuck doing, didn't like my job, and changed the way that I interact with clients so much so that now I feel very proud of what I do, and I talk to people and they forget I'm a salesperson because of these techniques. They end up selling it themselves. I'm not even selling.
Stop the buyer-seller dance and learn to love your career again. Call me, Jim Stevens, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275 or on the web at crossroads.sandler.com.
It's time for the Sandler Training Hour on News Talk 670 KBOI. Here's your host, Jim Stevens.
And welcome to the weekend. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. This is the Sandler Training Hour. My guest today is Brad McDonald. If you listened last week, you've tuned in today because you wanted to hear the end of his story. Brad is a submarine captain. He spent 20 years as a submariner. Actually, his father was also a submarine captain, so he's followed in his father's footsteps. And he helped us understand some of the leadership principles necessary to be a good leader. And he talked a little bit about building a foundation for your management on command policy. And then last segment, we were talking about the values that are appropriate in establishing your leadership compass. So, Brad, you gave seven components of the leadership compass. Give us a high-level overview, and then we'll jump into what you mean by non-negotiables.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, Jim. We talked about creating this a personal leadership philosophy, and I started mine off with my life purpose. Of course, I did also say that this is a personal thing and everybody should write their own version. I'm just giving an example. I also wrote a paragraph about what leadership means to me, somewhat philosophical, and then I listed my seven personal either operating principles or leadership principles. Each one is a short statement, such as I will be approachable and in control of myself, I will be consistent, I will be fair and just. Things like that, the things that people can expect out of me. And the next paragraph was expectations, which is my expectations of the people that report to me. And I think that's important so they know, okay, this is what the boss is looking for on a regular basis. The next paragraph is non-negotiables. And this is basically things that whoever the leader is, absolutely requires to be done or not done. So my non-negotiables in the Sandler world were: one, excellent treatment of every person that calls us or walks into our office. Two, complete honesty in all of our transactions with each other and with our clients. And three, respect for each other. We will treat each other in a friendly, courteous, respectful manner. We will get along with each other. No drama here. When you come to work, leave your child at home.
And what we're talking about is really an illustration of our various ego states. And you see that child when someone behaves childishly. So we're not going to be childish. We're going to be adults as we approach life.
I also wanted the workplace to be a fun place, and it's okay to have fun and have a good time. But in general, we don't want the dramatic child here.
Right, right.
The next paragraph is my priorities, what's important and in what order. And so my priorities as a Sandler owner were: one, provide excellent training and coaching to our clients. Two, continuously bring new clients on board. We must always be prospecting for new business. Three, a neat, orderly, impressive training center. It's everybody's job to keep this place neat, clean, and orderly. So I wanted simple priorities that everybody could understand, and we could always go back.
So now, are the priorities, they differ from non-negotiables, but there seems like there may be a parallel there. At least I'm thinking, for me, I think my priorities would also be reflected somewhat in my non-negotiables. Talk to us about that.
I think you're absolutely right. There's definitely a parallel. And like I said, people just have to decide which categories they want to use, and they can use different ones. There's certainly some overlap. I think the non-negotiable thing came out of my realization a couple years into the business that you could get some strange phone calls at times. And there were even times when I would get a call, and I would immediately think, this is a salesperson calling me. And I wouldn't have that spark in my voice. And I thought to myself, well, if I treat some caller less important than another caller, what right do I have to expect to call into a business and think they'll treat me well?
Huh.
So I told the people that work with me, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Joe who comes up and picks up our laundry every week. I don't care if it's Martha, the cleaning lady. Everybody that walks into this place will be treated the same and treated like a VIP.
Huh.
If we have trouble with somebody, I'll be the one to deal with that. That's how we can help with some of those non-negotiables. Personal idiosyncrasies are maybe the odd things, oddball things about you that you would be handy for people to know, but they might not know it unless they cross a line. Well, my personal idiosyncrasies, I said one, don't ask me about my weekend on Monday morning. I love to socialize at certain times, but generally not at the office. I am really interested in your life, and if you want to have a talk to get some advice, thoughts, and input, let me know. We'll set a time to talk.
That's
interesting.
My
second idiosyncrasy was, don't ask me if I had time to do something. Just ask me if I chose to do it yet. This question causes me to take responsibility and not hide behind the excuse of, I didn't have time. I will do the same with you. Now, let me put you on the spot, Jim. Can you think of an idiosyncrasy about you, something that's different from just, I want everybody to be honest, or I want everybody to be on time?
One of mine is I'm a little bit of a neat freak. I want our facility to look first cabin and pristine. So if somebody uses one of our conference rooms and doesn't put the chairs back, that just bugs me. So that would be an idiosyncrasy.
So I would know if I worked for you, that if you and I were talking and I walked off and I walked across a piece of trash on the floor and didn't pick it up, I should know that's going to bother me.
That's exactly right. I love that, too. It plays back into the Sandler upfront contract. It's almost like, here is how to work best with me.
And the last paragraph was my commitment, and I said, I will never ask you for more commitment to our business than you see from me. If you question my level of effort, commitment, or fulfillment of anything written above, let me know. I want and need your feedback. You will never get chastised for bringing me bad news, even if that news is about me. When all else fails, I have a two-word solution to every problem and situation. Keep moving. Let's keep moving and make this a great business together. Here's to our success, Brad McDonald.
Yeah, that's another idiosyncrasy of mine. I detest when someone isn't busy. I want you working. So to summarize for our listeners, what we're talking about is, as a leader, and I got to hasten to say, Brad, I believe everyone has a role in leadership. Doesn't matter what your title is in your organization, we all are called upon to lead some people in our lives. So I believe this is an exercise that would be well done for everyone. Your thoughts?
I think you're right. I have done this exercise with many people that they tell me, I don't lead anybody in our company. I say, well, do you think it would be helpful to have a leadership philosophy? And once they start writing it and finish, they say, that was a great exercise. I learned a lot about myself. And I've also had several people who have written this who have gone looking for other jobs. And literally in the interview, when somebody said, how would you handle a certain situation as the manager or leader? This person has pulled their leadership philosophy out of a folder and placed it in front of the interviewer, and it's more than once been a defining moment in getting them hired, because most interviewers and hirers haven't seen that kind of preparation or ahead of time thought before.
Yeah, I think it's a rare person who has the discipline and taking the time and really the insight to define their own values in this way. The seven ingredients that go into the leadership compass are, number one, know your values. Number two, identify your leadership principles. And a sub-entry to that is, specifically, what are they? For Brad, he had seven specific leadership principles. Number one, approachable. Number two, consistent. Number three, fair and just. Number four, I set the standard. Number five, energy and enthusiasm. Number six, I'm going to be myself, but I'm also going to be the role I fill. And number seven, pride. I want you to have pride in me as your leader. So if I understand my leadership principles and I put that in the context of my leadership compass, now I'm really getting clarity and I can give clarity to the members of my team. Back to the leadership compass. Number three is expectations. Number four.
That's my expectations of you.
Number four, what are the non-negotiables? Five, priorities. Six, what are my idiosyncrasies? And seven, what is my commitment to you? So, Brad, give our listeners maybe a one-minute and a half overview of how would they go about set aside the time and develop one of these for themselves?
The way I do it with people, as I mentioned part of it in our previous segment, was send the person to the board and have them draw a wheel with seven spokes and put those seven words. And then from each of those words or each spoke, I say, okay, just list some expectations that you have of people. It's a brainstorming exercise, kind of like a mind map, Jim. And then the priority scope. What are your priorities in your office? Idiosyncrasies. What are some oddball things about you? So we brainstorm. When they're finished with that, they have a picture of a lot of words and phrases that are important. Typically, I have them take a picture at that point with their smartphone. Say, okay, now go start writing. One paragraph at a time, short, concise, clear, that embodies at least three of those words or phrases for each of those spokes. And they do their first write-up. And it's always, almost always too long the first time around. I think 400 to 500 words is great. If you make this thing 1,000 or 2,000 words, nobody's going to read it.
Right. You won't even read it.
The more concise you make it, the more chance they'll read it. So they do their first draft, and then we just chop away at it a couple times until they have something that's very concise and covers those areas. I'll tell you one last story, Jim. I did this with a man who was an emerging leader in a rapidly growing company. And when we looked at the picture he had on the board, I said, take your best person. He was leading a team of 15 people. I said, take your best person. Now go around the spokes and circle in green everything the guy does. And he went around and he circled almost everything. And I said, now take your worst person and circle in red almost everything they don't. And it was a very dramatic moment for him and me both, to see that his top guy fit his leadership compass perfectly, bottom guy, not at all.
And I'm Jim Stevens, the host of the Sandler Training Hour. Really appreciate you being here, Brad. This has been an awesome segment. Carrying you over from last week, what a blessing and a privilege to have you on board. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me, Jim. Take care.
And we're going to be back with more of the Sandler Training Hour just after this.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
Income would be definitely by far the most tangible results. I have quadrupled the monthly that I've been doing for the company. When I started, that amount has quadrupled. In turn, I have more than doubled my income. Pretty drastic results, I would say.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
And welcome to Behind the Business. In this segment of our program, we get to meet the people and hear the stories behind some local area businesses and nonprofits. Today, I'm honored to have Lori Fasilla, who is the executive director of Giraffe Laugh. Lori, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Jim.
So love the name. Tell us about Giraffe Laugh. I just smile saying it.
I think we all do. It's a great name and obviously real positive. I've been with Giraffe Laugh for 26 years now. What brought me there was I found myself a single mother suddenly and with a very young two-year-old. I had been searching for a teaching job that wasn't available where I lived, so I ended up in retail and enrolled my son at the very best center I could find, which was substandard at best. So I began searching again and found a child care center that was opening, brand new big corporate center that was beautiful. I couldn't have afforded to be there unless I was a teacher. They had room for my son, brought him along as well. It really impacted and changed our lives at a time that we really needed it. So when I was asked to be the executive director of Giraffe Laugh, I jumped at the chance for a couple reasons. One, that we offer scholarships to families, to people like I was 26 years ago.
Awesome.
I love our tagline, which is, we can see the future from here.
Wow, that is a great tagline. We can see the future from here. One of the things we were talking about before we got on is your core values and your mission. So share with our listeners your mission statement.
Okay, our mission at Giraffe Laugh, we ensure school readiness, empower families, and build strong futures. And we do that for about 200 children in the Treasure Valley daily. We have over 500 children on our waiting list right now. So that's one of the things that we hope to address in the coming years.
Is how do I shrink that waiting list and serve more kids.
Exactly.
Your organization has been selected by BNI as their target nonprofit for the year.
We
as
have.
I understand
yes.
that. So there's a lot of areas that people could donate. Do you want to just share just briefly, what are some of the things you're looking for that some of our listeners could reach out to you and help with?
That's a great question. Thank you, Jim. If you look on our website, we actually do have a list and everything from bouncy balls for outdoors to a van. We need need storage, we need lots of things, but primarily we need scholarships in order to care for the children that we do have to reduce the cost for their parents, but also for the children that are on that waiting list. We have so many that we are in need, and with our goal of educational justice for all children, we would love to see all children
receiving the care
access
and readiness so that they can see the future from
there.
That's awesome. We'll give your contact information in case there's a listener who would like to volunteer services, underwrite one of your students.
Great. Our website is giraffelaugh.org. Our main line is 954-5456 if you want to reach our donor relations person, or 954-5457 if you'd like to reach our volunteer coordinator, Jessica.
We'll be back with more of you after this next segment of the Sandler Training Hour. I'm going to want to have you help me unpack your mission.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be back just after this.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
Sandler's really expensive. Share your response to that.
The small investment that I made into Sandler Training has more than paid off tenfold on a monthly basis. I mean, I've made more in a month from the Sandler Training than I have in previous years. It's an investment in yourself.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
And welcome to the second segment of the Sandler Training Hour. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. My guest today was Brad McDonald. And for those of you that missed last week, I thought it'd be valuable to share with you some of the insights and strategies Brad left us with when he was on the show previously. Some of these stories are the background. Like, for example, I think it's really interesting how Brad followed in his father's footsteps. Many of us gravitate towards careers because that's what is meaningful to us based on the influence from the people who were significant in our lives. So I love the story that Brad tells about how he got into being a submariner and then ultimately a submarine captain, and listen to Brad tell his story.
I know you're very attached to your family relationships and legacy and history, and so am I. And when I was 8, 9 years old, my father was a commanding officer of a submarine. We lived in Charleston, South Carolina. I quite idolized my father and his position as a submarine captain. I thought every boy should have a father who was a submarine captain. And he would take me on the ship once in a while when it was in port and let me hang out with him, which was quite thrilling. And one Saturday morning, we went down to the ship, and we actually got underway. The submarine drove down the Cooper River in Charleston, and I was sitting on the bridge of this World War II vintage submarine in the captain's chair, and my dad was on the bridge with me. He was giving orders to the line handlers as we left the pier, and then giving orders to the helmsman and so on, heading down the river, and the stewards were bringing me chocolate milk and donuts, treating me like a king.
Wow.
And as I looked at my dad and ate my chocolate milk and donuts, I thought, man, this is a pretty good life. I'd like to do this one day. My joke with my father, when I took command 30 years later of a submarine at the same pier in Charleston where his submarine had been, said, I still don't have my chocolate milk and donuts, Dad, but I'm happy to follow in your footsteps. I don't know that being a submarine officer made me a better salesperson or any better at the Sandler submarine, but it certainly keyed in some parallels between my life in submarines and the Sandler process. When a submarine is in combat, and I don't want to create a negative analogy that sails is like combat, it's not. But when a submarine is in combat, it more than any other ship focuses on one person, and that is the commanding officer. He has to be able to respond to numerous people, the people in the engine room, people in the sonar room, torpedo room, the helmsman, the stern planesman, the chief of the wall, all kinds of people. He has to have a lot of things going on at one time. In the Navy, we want that commanding officer to be so familiar with his submarine that he doesn't even have to think about what's going on inside the submarine. He can focus on the target. That's where his energy needs to be. So everything inside the submarine needs to be just second nature. Well, he gets that by having a lot of experience, and I was on 4 different submarines before I became a commanding officer of my 5th submarine. Parallel, I think, in Sandler is that the Sandler submarine, by giving us a systematic approach to selling, Jim, it allows us to become very familiar with a process. So instead of always wondering what should I do next or what should I say next, we can focus on our prospect, really engage them at a deeper level on their concerns, their problems, their issues, and not be thinking about ourselves or a sales process. So in other words, the submarine's second nature. so I can focus on my prospects. I think that's my best parallel.
So how long did it take to go from an enlisted man to a captain?
When I finished high school, I entered the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland. My dad enlisted in the Navy in World War II, and at the end of the war, he was sent to the Naval Academy. He said he didn't even know what the Naval Academy was, so he graduated in 1949. Many years later, he swore me in on the same spot.
Wow.
Or he was sworn in. So I went through 4 years at the Naval Academy, graduated, and then entered submarine training and was on a submarine as a junior officer for 3.5 years. Another submarine as a department head. I was the engineer officer, and then I was on another submarine as a navigation and operations officer. I was on a fourth submarine as the number two, the executive officer, and then the fifth submarine as captain. So it took about, from the time I left the Naval Academy, just under 17 years until I was the commanding officer. It's funny, submarining is a young person's game, probably one of the most complicated platforms man has ever created in the world, but it's operated by 120 people, average age 22 to 24 years old. So another parallel is on submarines is that we rely on procedures to do things. We don't do things by the seat of our pants. And I think that's a parallel in Sandler, is having a procedure for how you sell.
Yeah, and I think the other parallel, that what we preach in Sandler is ongoing reinforcement. And people think, okay, I went to a seminar, now I've taken Sandler, and it just doesn't work that way. Just like the trajectory to become a captain is 15, 20 years of training in every position. To become a master salesperson, you've got to be able to think every position and not be caught up in the emotion of the sales call. And we call it being a third person outside of the call, observing what's happening and managing the relationships from that perspective.
Great. And as you said that, I thought to myself, yeah, that's sort of the job of a submarine captain. I gave the analogy when he's in combat, he's in the control room and his submarine needs to be second nature, but in a sense, he also needs to be a somewhat disinterested third party, as you said, who can see what's going on in his own ship and focus on sonar on the target at the same time. And yes, not get emotionally involved, because it does get pretty tense down there at times. And I developed some of my own leadership principles as I was going through the Navy, and I had 7 principles that I wrote down and attempted to live up to on a daily basis, read them every day. And the number one principle was be approachable and in control of yourself. If you can't control yourself, how will your crew believe you can control the ship? Can you see a parallel there between that and not getting emotionally involved, what you said?
If I am able to control myself, I can almost put myself in that autopilot where I'm able to manage me without getting emotionally involved in what's happening outside of me. And as soon as you get emotionally hooked in anything, you lose your ability to think in a cognitive and positive way. You lose your objectivity.
Yeah, submariners who spend a lot of time, like any career guy, get very attached to the crew, the ship, and things like that, the high standards. And I saw a lot of submarine officers blow their gasket on a regular basis and get emotional and loud and things like that. I surely didn't know much about sales then or getting emotionally involved, but I did know that when people stayed calm, when the leaders stayed calm in tense situations, the crew responded better. And so that's one thing I worked on myself, was always remaining calm in difficult situations.
That's
and I think
awesome.
That applies in sales. You and I know sales can be an emotional roller coaster. Being
yes,
an entrepreneur or a small business owner can be an emotional roller coaster.
Well, we're going to talk today about establishing your leadership compass. So when we come back for the next segment, I'm going to ask Brad to introduce this concept to us, take us through some of those leadership principles that he has come to live by and that apply so well in your sales world. Thank you so much, Brad, for your service and your dad's service. I think that's a terrific story. Really appreciate you sharing that. Share with our listeners your contact information in case somebody out there would like to reach out and connect with you.
Easy to email me at McDonald, that's McDonald, just like Ronald, McDonald@Sandler.com, McDonald@Sandler.com.
Awesome, and I'm Jim Stevens, the host of the Sandler Training Hour. We're going to be back after this break for more of Brad McDonald. You can reach us at area code 208-429-9275 or on the web at crossroads.com. www.sandler.com.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
I started with Sandler about 3 months ago now. Since being here, we've doubled the revenue that we've been generating. 10 times pay for itself easily already. So I'm excited for the road ahead and highly recommend this training to anyone who's looking to generate new business sales and be successful.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
And welcome back to Behind the Business. In this segment of our program, we get to meet the people and hear stories behind area businesses. If you know of somebody in your world who has children and they're in a situation where they're financially challenged, they've got to deal with things like daycare, preparation for their children for school, Giraffe Laugh is a center that focuses their mission on that. So share with our listeners your mission and who's your ideal family or people
okay,
you help.
Great. Giraffe Laugh ensures school readiness and empowers families and builds strong futures for 200 children in the Treasure Valley every day. And our goal is to make sure that all children living in poverty have access to quality early childhood settings and that their parents have the support they need. And that comes for us through scholarships. So we're able to defer the cost, the full cost of a very expensive program to everyone so that everyone has access.
And you, having been a single mom, know exactly what it's like to be in that struggling phase, and what a perfect person to be one of the founders, really.
Oh, thank
you. And you've been there 26 years?
Yes, I have.
That's awesome. So share with us, when you talk about school readiness, what are you targeting to help prepare the kids for?
Some of our babies, when they begin with us, are only 10 days old, and at that point, wow, their brain is only 25% developed. Well, by the time these kids are wearing graduation caps and heading out the door to kindergarten, their brains are 90% developed. So you can imagine how much impact we can have on that little baby brain during those years. And simple things, learning to stand in a line, make a friend, write their name, recite the alphabet, count to 10. And literacy is all linked to that. It's incredibly important because we learn to read up to third grade, and from third grade on, we read to learn. So when children enter kindergarten ready, they're more likely to graduate from high school, less likely to use drugs, less likely to experience teen pregnancy. There's just a myriad of wonderful outcomes when children are prepared.
And some of what you do, looking at the website, sounds like it also involves helping prepare parents to be good parents. Talk
yes,
to us about that.
Absolutely. Because we need to look at the family as a whole. It's not just about the child. If you're not embracing and encompassing the entire family, the way that I was when I was a single mom, I had that person in my life that took me in at the child care center and talked to me about parenting and about resources that I might need, including food pantries and so forth. Those all things are really, really important. And as parents, if we feel connected and supported, we are less likely to abuse and more likely to have families that are healthy.
Healthy families. That's mm-hmm. awesome. And you said you have a backlog of 500 people on a waiting list, and they're really waiting for somebody to underwrite them.
Exactly.
What's the financial investment for that on a monthly basis?
It depends. On the age of the child, it's fairly complicated because each child's rates are different depending on their income. We actually have four different income levels, so you can work your way up to self-sufficiency. So it is quite a bit, but any child can cost between $100 a month to $1,000 a month. It just depends.
So you're looking for donors who are willing to sponsor a child to underwrite someone's
preparation. That would be fabulous. Yes.
Give your contact information in case there's somebody listening who would like to know more and maybe participate.
Okay, our website is giraffelaugh.org, where you can find all of our contacts, but our donor relations person is 954-5456, and her name is Mary. And our volunteer coordinator, Jessica, is 954-5457.
We're going to be back with the final installment of Lori after this next segment of the Sandler Training Hour.
I didn't expect the result to be as quick as they were. I've done programs where I've had quick results, but then I get bored with it. The difference with Sandler is I've stayed with it, and over the course of a year, I've continued to build on those results, and it's new stuff every time that I'm learning and applying. My business, there's a marked increase that everybody in my company has noticed and comes and says, what's going on? What are you doing?
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
Hi, this is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. If you're a business owner who's thinking about selling or transitioning your firm to your employees, and you're not sure if you'll be able to achieve your dream of a successful transition, call me, Jim Stevens, 208-429-9275. I will help you determine what actions will be required to position your business for a successful transition. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. If you're ready to take your business to the next level, we're ready to help. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. And welcome to Entrepreneur Radio. I'm Jim Stevens, your host. This segment of our program, we interview local and regional entrepreneurs. I'd love to hear the story of how people got started in business, how they were able to grow, develop, and mature their business, and in many cases, sell it and start a new business. Today, I've got a chronic entrepreneur with us, Mike Howard. He's the owner of Grade Power Learning. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you, Jim.
So let's start with Grade Power. Give our listeners an overview of what you do at Grade Power Learning.
Well, Grade Power Learning is awesome. We work with kids after school. We're a tutoring center. We work with kids from all ages, all grades, all subjects, from learning to read all the way up to prepping them for the ACT and SAT.
And do you do some of the tutoring yourself?
I don't, Jim. I've hired some awesome teachers that are from the district that come in and help us with our different programs.
That's terrific. So what got you interested in tutoring?
It was my kids. You know, I have four of those kids, and I just love them, and their success in life and in school has always been very important to me. So when I got to looking into supplemental education, I just thought, you know, this is somewhere where I'd take my kids.
You did some research and decided your kids needed that help, and then you decided, I might as well buy the business.
You're right. And I could see this as beneficial as to me as when I was growing up. I was going, wow, I wish I had something like this when I was growing up for it to help me through school as well. School's always been a little bit of a fight for me. I always had to work extra hard to get to where I had those grades that I felt I deserved, and my peers around me seemed like it was easy for them.
You know, I had the same problem. The only consolation I had is I read a statistic once that most straight-A students are employees of B and C grade students. So, Mike, tell us, let's hear the story about the first business venture that you got into. You started in excavating.
Started out leveling fields in the eastern Oregon, Parma area. Got my hands wet to heavy equipment there.
Right.
So, and then we ventured off into doing some forest service work, rebuilding roads for the IDT, Department of Lands, Idaho Transportation Department, and eventually found our way up to the landfill with the contract up there for
a long period
of time.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. So you were running equipment up there, and you're the one that's one of the people that are running the big equipment and processing garbage.
That's correct, yes. And along with the processing that garbage, we established their gas extraction system while we were up there. So
putting
a lot of the pipeline work in for that. So it was a
wow.
big project.
So you climbed the ladder and eventually became an owner in the business. Tell us that story.
Yeah, the owner, Terry Hale, he's an awesome guy to work with. Been with him for close to 13 years. He decided he was just ready to retire. So me and his son, let's buy him out. And the company's very profitable at the time. Went in and had a long-standing contract with the county. It was great. So we bought the business, ended up paying it off the first year.
Wow. So you didn't even have to get interim financing?
No, it was kind of just agreement we had.
That's
purchased
terrific.
It, yeah. Pretty much dumped all the profit right into paying
awesome.
The business off.
That's great. And so how long did you run that, and what caused you to decide it was time to sell?
The contract came up for renewal a couple of years after we bought the business. We really were looking for an extension to that contract, and it just didn't happen.
Mm.
We lost the contract up there and then went out and tried to acclimate ourselves back into competitive bidding.
Yeah.
That was a little bit...
Right? You've been out of the game long enough. It's
yeah.
like, wow, I forgot how hard this was.
Yeah, it was. It was tough. It was a big learning curve for us, but we did well. We just didn't... It was just the growth kind of stopped.
Yeah.
And finally, it was just pulling too many different ways on my family, so we decided, you know, I'm out of town all summer long trying to chase work. Maybe we should look at doing something else.
And you approached your business partner to see if he's willing to buy the business. How'd that work?
It worked really good at the time. We had a really good separation. it was just a perfect time, really, for both of us, especially for me. I was just, we were starting at the first of the year, January 1st. We really didn't have much work going on, so we were just like, you know, I need to look at an exit strategy, and we just talked it through and found out something that worked out best for us.
Well, good. And so did that involve bank financing?
Basically, we took our assets and separated them.
And then liquidated what you needed to, got you paid, and
yep.
moved out? Awesome,
exactly.
Yeah. There is hope for business owners,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
If you're an entrepreneur, you're in a business, there's hope that you could sell it and move on.
That's right.
So you wanted to move on to something that allowed you to be with your kids. And how did the thought occur to you that buying a franchise that facilitates learning and tutoring come to be?
Yeah, that was an interesting process. Really, it was an email I got one day. You know, I was looking for some sort of a business idea. I knew I wanted to be a business owner again. Didn't know quite what that looked like. I stepped back and took a year and a half, took a job that I just wasn't happy with. You know, I looked at some opportunities to grow there, and I just, you know, this is really not going to satisfy me for the rest of my life. I was looking at some business opportunities, and supplemental education came up on an email somehow. I'm not sure how that all unfolded. And so I looked at Grade Power Learning and started to look at their philosophy, and actually gave them a phone call and started talking to one of the representatives. And what impressed me is they flew me out to visit some of their centers before we even signed a contract.
Really?
Yeah. There was an intent to that I had to sign, but basically they took the initiative. Some background checks, of course, you know, working with kids, they wanted to make sure that
right.
I was financially secure. And
right.
But flew me back to some centers in Florida, and I got the hands-on talking with some owners, and just really got to know the programs and seeing the difference from testimonials from parents of how great Grade Power has been.
And was your wife involved in that process?
She was, yeah. And this was... This was a big leap for her, you know, this is way out of our league, you know.
Right, it's something totally new.
Yeah, but the way they set the business structure was appealing to me, where I hire the education director that oversees the education part of it. Obviously, that is not a background I have,
right.
but a passion I have, but it's just not. So it's basically just hiring the experts to help me run the center, so.
Yeah. And then your job is to go out and find clients.
Yes, get those seats filled.
Which is how we met.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, Sandler's also a franchise. And if you get into a good franchise, it really is terrific because there's a network of people that you can learn from and grow mm-hmm. with. There's systems and processes in place so that it can be a great benefit.
Yeah, the support has been phenomenal. They really care about children and they really care about their centers. They're real intentional who they let open a center. And it's just been phenomenal, the support that we get.
So paint the picture of what kind of client you have. We've got a lot of listeners out there. Many of them probably have children or grandchildren, and when they think of tutoring, they may not even know what's available. So tell us the story of Grade Power Learning.
I find a lot of my customers, their perspective is off a little bit. Let's just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Their perspective is this is where kids come that are totally struggling. They're even, the kids
failing.
Feel like they're dumb. Yes, yeah. And it's not that at all. Yeah, there's so many more things to education and supplementing your education. It's like if your child had an interest in music, you wouldn't have the school provide all of those needs for
right.
developing that music
good
talent.
Point.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get them lessons. And
get
that's
lessons,
a great
yes.
point.
Uh-huh.
So what you provide through Grade Power is a structure for children who are, or parents, I guess, too, who want their children to achieve and become those overachievers to come and get training.
That's exactly right, yes.
So paint the picture, Michael, of the typical session, typical relationship. Is it a couple of years, months?
Yeah, it's a commitment. We want to set that up front with our parents to have long-term results. It takes some time, you know. It's not an overnight process that we develop, you know, in these kids. This is habits that we're changing. We're changing some bad habits and turning that around into some good habits. Kids that are just there for enrichment, it's a minimum of 50 hours. And those kids that are remedial, it's 100 hours or more.
And is that 1 hour a week?
Yeah, so we really try to get our kids in a minimum of twice a week for 1 hour sessions. What that translates into, you know, typically 8 hours, 9 hours a month.
And then do you also do summer school?
We do.
You continue all year round.
Yeah, that's one of the popular programs for us. That summer slide is popular with parents. They really know that it's crucial for them to
right.
to keep some education
yeah,
going.
Yeah, if you don't, slide is right.
Yes.
And what ages?
3 to 6 years old. world is our Little Readers Academy. So it's a preschool program. Oh. And we're teaching these, getting these kids ready for kindergarten and first grade.
Oh, and then up to?
Up to prepping them for college. Yeah, getting them ready for that college exam.
Wow. So you have SAT and ACT prep classes?
Both of those, yes.
So give your contact information, Mike, in case somebody'd like to reach out to Grade Power Learning.
Our website is a great place to start. It's gradepowermeridian.com. We got community page. We got some information on each of our programs. And we also got a contact form if you guys are interested in just reaching out to us just for some information. You can reach us on our phone number, which is 208-608-5061.
Give that phone number one more time.
208-608-5061.
Well, thank you for being on the program, Mike. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim. This is awesome.
We'll be back with the rest of the Sandler Training Hour just after this.
I have faith in the Sandler system. When you tell me things, sometimes it seems counter to what my instincts would tell me to do, but I go out there, I try it, and it works. Whatever you tell me, I'm going to keep going out there and putting it to use. This is something that's very, very different than any course that I've taken, and the results are going to be different as well. Firsthand, I would put my stamp on it. You will see results from this. I would do it.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
And welcome to the final segment of Behind the Business, where we get to meet the people and hear stories behind local businesses and nonprofits. Lori Fasilla is my guest today, and she's one of the founders of Giraffe Laugh, which is a, well, you explain what you are.
It's early childhood education and nurturing, and we provide that to 200 children in the Treasure Valley daily by ensuring school readiness, empowering families, and building strong futures.
And you have four different centers.
We do. We have four sites in Boise.
Wow. You've got your hands full. And you've got a waiting list of 500.
We do.
So there's a terrific need here. And one of the things, if you would, just share your vision, your mission statement, and let's talk what you mean specifically about empowering families.
Well, our vision is that all families and all children have access to quality early childhood education, because we know that that can really change the trajectory of our community. Only half of all children in Idaho are entering kindergarten ready, which doesn't bode well in terms of graduation rate. And empowering parents is providing those classes and the support and everything they need. And a part of that support goes into our third part of our work, Building Strong Futures, and that includes our food pantries that we have on site at each of our centers that we would love donations for. It includes our meals, breakfast, lunch, and snack, but it also includes things like ballet lessons and swim lessons.
Wow.
Also field trips. Anything that levels that playing field for children and helps build their vocabulary and experiences is very, very important.
I imagine you've got some tremendous testimonials about adults now that you've helped early on. Is that?
Yes, and they're coming back with their own children now, which is very satisfying.
That is satisfying.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Well, we've got a list of things that you're looking for that we'd share with our listeners. Things, simple things like miniature pop-up cribs, bassinets, sheets, sleeping sacks. There's a whole list on the website of things available, but the primary thing we need is money, right? We need money for underwriting some of these children who are on the waiting list, because these are families who really need that leg up that's going to help them be prepared for the future. I love your tagline, we see the future from here.
Yes, we can see the future from here.
So unpack that a little bit for us.
As you mentioned earlier, we have families now coming back, children that are no longer children, that are graduating from high school and even graduating from college. And it's just great to see how their lives change, knowing where they came from. You know, I can give an example of a gal that her father was in prison and her mom was going to BSU, and her mom made it all the way through BSU and actually started her career about the same time that her daughter entered kindergarten. And her daughter is now a college graduate and has a great banking job.
Awesome.
Her dad is out of prison and they've reconciled and things are better. But when you think about that little start and how tenuous that was, and without the help of Giraffe Laugh and other services, I'm not sure where they would be today.
And it really is a community of people who are working with you to help provide that foundation.
Yes, we partner with Idaho Food Bank and the Salvation Army for one of their sites, City of Boise and United Way.
Awesome. Give your contact information because I'm hoping we have some listeners that want to be donors.
That'd be fabulous. GiraffeLaugh.org. You can find all of our contact information there. And you can always call Mary at 954-5456.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being a guest. We're going to have you for Entrepreneur Radio, where we'll get to hear a little more of your story.
Great. Thank you, Jim.
We're going to be back with more of the Sandler Training Hour just after this.
Everything you teach is centered around not doing what the customer expects. That dance that you do back and forth that I was stuck doing and didn't like my job when I was having to do that. And it changed my actual job description and the way that I interact with clients so much so that now I feel very proud of what I do and I love going to work and I don't feel like I'm getting caught in that dance anymore. I'm able to actually talk to people and they forget I'm a salesperson because of these techniques. They end up selling it themselves and I feel like I'm not even selling.
Have you experienced sharing your expertise in hopes of selling someone on your firm only to realize that you've been doing unpaid consulting? Buyers have a very sophisticated system for getting information. You need an even more sophisticated system to grow your business.
I have faith in the Sandler system. Sometimes it seems counter to what my instincts would tell me to do. I go out there, I try it, and it works.
That's Bethany Brediger with Sonatrol Pacific. She leveraged hard work and the Sandler training system to change her career.
Income would be the most tangible result. I have quadrupled the monthly that I've been doing for the company. When I started, that amount has quadrupled. I have more than doubled my income. Pretty drastic results, I would say.
Stop unpaid consulting now. Sandler Training is not a quick fix. It's long-term reinforcement for professional development. Call me, Jim Stevens, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275 or on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. And welcome back to the final segment of the Sandler Training Hour. Our guest today has been Brad McDonald. Brad's been sharing with us his insights and expertise regarding sales, business management, and in particular, how business management relates to his career as a submariner and ultimately a submarine captain. I love some of the parallels that he shared with us. Like, for example, a submarine captain is probably one of the more unique positions in the military because you have autonomy and authority over your entire team of 100 plus people, and your job is to make sure everyone is doing their job without micromanaging and with excellence. Operating under pressure is intense in the submarine because you've got 130 men and women in a cylinder underwater, which in itself creates pressure. And under the pressure of performance, you've also got to keep your emotions in check, be very laser focused on the target, the goals, and then understand how you communicate with your team and vice versa. Out of this process, Brad has developed some command priorities and some strategies that he has found very helpful in getting everyone on your team on the same page. Listen to what Brad has to share.
One of the things that I did was thought about having that command policy on the ship and thought, why not have one in the business world? I think it's a good exercise for people to go through. They can do it by themselves or with other people or in a class. A leadership philosophy can be whatever the writer or creator wants it to be. And one suggestion when I work with leaders one-on-one to develop their leadership philosophy, I send them to the whiteboard, Jim, with a marker, and I make them draw a wheel with seven spokes. And those seven spokes, I have them label as values, leadership principles, expectations, non-negotiables, priorities, idiosyncrasies, and commitments. So values would be what that person holds important. And leadership principles would be, here's the sort of behaviors that I expect myself to engage in, and here's what I'd like to see out of you. Expectations, what I expect of you and what you can expect from me. Non-negotiables could be, these are things that are absolutes in our office that we either will do or we will not do. Priorities, what's important to me? It's helpful if the people that report to you know what's important. Idiosyncrasies, what are your hot buttons? Like Mad Dog and his command policy, one of the other things I remember was he said, for the supply officer, I do not like new unlaundered towels. And I thought, what in the world does that mean? Well, that was his idiosyncrasy. He wanted to make sure a towel was washed and softened up before it was given to him. I thought that was kind of silly, but that was his idiosyncrasy. And then commitment. You know, what's my commitment to you? So I wrote my own leadership philosophy, and I just started it out with my own life purpose. So it says, purpose gives meaning to life. My life purpose is to transform lives for a better world and give back. I will accomplish my life purpose by investing my values of faithfulness, reliability, compassion, charity, and lifetime learning, and my God-given talents of writing, speaking, teaching, training, selling, and mentoring into the improvement of other people. I help people improve their business skills and achieve greater success in their professional and personal lives. I also help disadvantaged children in my own city achieve greater academic success and a higher sense of self-worth. So I think by starting off something, Jim, with your own purpose, it helps people know you a little better. And that's the real idea here after you write this thing. And that's how it opens. Second thing is it has what leadership means to me. An excellent leader is a person who inspires and influences people to do their best for a common cause, a mission, a purpose, or a group endeavor. John Adams said, if your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader. That's the leader I work to be. Notice nowhere in here do I promise people that every single day, Jim, I can live up to every one of these things.
Ultimately, we want to develop a leadership compass, which will allow us to maintain our focus and help our team know what we need them to focus on to best execute the objectives. So here is Brad sharing with us an overview of the components that make up that leadership compass.
Well, I thought in the Navy that having a command policy was very handy because, as you said, great parallel, it's an upfront contract with the crew. And I thought, why shouldn't business owners, business leaders have their own leadership philosophy? And I don't think you need to be the owner of a Fortune 500 company to do this. I think you can be the general manager of two people. People ought to know what your leadership philosophy is. And when we take a pen to paper and attempt to write down our own leadership philosophy, a lot of things happen. One is we do some good introspection and start to figure out what we believe about leadership. And then if we give it to our people, it helps create a better relationship where they understand what's expected of them and what they can expect of you. So the next part of my compass is my operating principles or leadership principles, and there's seven of them. And they are, one, I will be approachable and in control of myself. One of my watchwords is calmness of mind. You can bring me bad news and know I will react calmly. The reason I have that is I observed in my time in the Navy that if people thought they were going to get yelled at for bringing bad news to the boss, they would stop bringing the bad news. When your people stop telling you bad things, you're really in trouble. Second principle, I will be consistent. Third principle, I will be fair and just. Four, I will set the standard. I won't expect you to have sharper looking uniform, a better haircut, or treat our clients better than that which you see from me. Leaders always have to know that they cannot expect the people below them to set a higher standard than that which they see from their leader. Number five, I will continuously supply energy and enthusiasm for whatever is to be done. I will be the most excited person in the business, prospecting time, cleaning up the office, those kind of things. I'm guessing even in your business, Jim, there's probably something you don't like doing, probably something your team doesn't like doing. But I would say if they see you having a bad attitude about it, how's their attitude going to be? That was number five. Number six is I will be myself, but I will always be the CEO. Or whatever your role is. The reason I have that is I think a lot of times, Jim, guys like you and me in the Santa world, we look at great people up on stage and we think, I gotta be like Joe. I gotta be like Fred. I gotta be like Sally. They're real successful. And I think we always have to remember that it's important to be yourself. Don't forget the role that you're in. Your role is CEO. Remember your role. People prefer you to stay in your role and be the CEO to them. They don't need you to be their best friend. It's important to remember our role.
Good.
And the last principle is I will always attempt to make you proud that I am your leader. So those are my seven operating or leadership principles.
The concept here is for us to develop our own, not necessarily adopt yours, but how do I figure out what are my top seven principles? Any suggestions there?
I'm a believer in start writing things, and things come out when you start writing. If you're having brain block or mind block, I'm just one of those guys that believes when you put pen to paper and start writing, that things tend to come out. And I agree with you. Don't try to adopt mine. These days, it's so easy to go on the internet and look at great leaders and the kind of things they said, get ideas there. But I think you just say, what's important? What is important to me about business? How do I want people to behave, and how do I want them to conduct themselves? Well, that's what I need to expect out of myself. So leadership principles are more about you and how you lead.
So the next
paragraph is expectations. Says your worth to this business. Once again, keep in mind, I wrote this in terms of being an owner of a Sandler business, just like your worth to this business and to me is based on two vital traits, integrity and professionalism. You are an honest man or woman, always putting forth your best effort for yourself and your teammates. You will succeed in our business. Remember, you only have your integrity once. Treasure it, guard it, avoid the short-term gain of dishonesty, and enjoy the long-term satisfaction as being known of a man or woman of your word. John Paul Jones said, men mean more than guns in the raiding of a ship. We have a great business here. It is our job to keep it that way. It is our job to be professional. A positive attitude, a sharp appearance, mental fitness, and an enthusiastic approach to our clients and everything we do are all marks of our professionalism. These qualities will form our reputation as individuals and collectively as the Sandler training team in Hampton Roads, Virginia.
I think that's a terrific point that you bring up, Brad. And unfortunately, I'm looking at the clock and we are running out of time. We've covered values. We've covered leadership principles. We've covered expectations. And we're now ready to talk about the non-negotiables. And sadly, having run out of time, happily for me, I have a terrific teaser to make sure people listen next weekend. I'm going to ask Brad to wrap this up in our next segment of the Sandler Training Hour. In the interim, Brad, why don't you give your contact information in case somebody listening would like to reach out to you?
Okay, I appreciate that, Jim. I'm at mcdonald@sandler.com. Email is mcdonald@sandler.com.
And I'm Jim Stevens, your host. I'm available at area code 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275 or on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. Listeners, I'm so grateful that you give part of your weekend to us and join with us. If there's any topic you'd like to hear more information about, or if you'd like to reach out to me directly, be honored to take your call. Remember, if you measure it, you'll manage it. Have a great weekend. Hi, this is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. With the baby boomer generation maturing, 8 million businesses will be sold or closed in the next 10 years. 75% of those companies have business owners who want to sell their business, but only 20% of them will be successful. If you're a business owner who's thinking about selling and you're not sure if you'll be able to achieve your dream, call me, Jim Stevens, 208-429-9275. I will help you determine what actions will be required to position your business for a successful transition. If you're ready to take your business to the next level, Sandler Training, 208-429-9275.
I didn't expect the result to be as quick as they were. I've done programs where I've had quick results, but then I get bored with it. The difference with Sandler is I've stayed with it, and over the course of a year, I've continued to build on those results, and it's new stuff every time that I'm learning and applying. My business, there's a marked increase that everybody in my company has noticed and comes and says, what's going on? What are you doing?
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.